as long as he wasn't in enemy hands on Sangelius, having the truth beaten out of him. She didn't know which was the real Saren Osman, and wasn't sure that she wanted to find out. "If you know their portals," she said carefully, "then can you work out where they go? We could at least narrow down the locations." "Well, you can forget names, because they won't correspond at all. So I'm relying on coordinates. But I can't work those out until I compare a portal with an actual exit location, because rather inconveniently they didn't use UNSC chart conventions." "Yes, okay, BB, point taken. Now tell me something useful." "I vote we keep looking, Mum," Mal said. "Rule out Sangelios, if nothing else. It's a damn big planet. We'll keep going until you call us off." Any deadline she set now would be an artificial one of her own making. But doing nothing and hoping for the best wasn't an option. There was always the possibility that Phillips had escaped under his own steam and made a run for it, and he was no fool. Even with his BB fragment dead, he'd find another way to send a signal. Osman couldn't just shrug and head back to Venezia even if she wanted to. It was lethal for morale, if nothing else. No man left behind. That's what the ODSTs expect. Naomi, too. She checked the real-time chart. Tark Kart showed as a small blue icon, even in stealth mode. For Stanley's electronic eyes only. "So you're 20 clicks outside Ontom." "It'll be dark soon. We can use thermal imaging and not invite pot shots. Shame he hasn't got a neural implant, though." "I'll shove one in him personally for the next time he goes missing. The hard way." "Just a thought," BB said. "If portals go anywhere at all on Sangelius, they'll probably route to other Forerunner sites. Can Admiral Hood sweet-talk a chart of relics out of the Arbiter? It would save me a lot of survey time. I'll ask. How are you doing for rations, staff?" "A week's worth if we're careful," Mal said. "No problem with water because there's any number of rivers down here." "Okay, next sit rep on the hour." The video link closed, and Osman was left staring at the Oni ident screen. BB drifted closer and sat on the console as if he was going to have a heart-to-heart with her. "You prefer to hear it direct from them, don't you?" he said. She nodded. "No offense. Instant data's wonderful, but I need to look my people in the eye." She clapped her hands on the armrests of her chair. "Okay, let's crack on with this. Tell me what's happening with the Arbiter." "He's struggling to hold Vadam. Want to listen?" BB switched the bridge audio to the output from the orbital surveillance drones. Osman could only guess what the actual transmission sounded like. A dozen different channels eavesdropping simultaneously. But BB's breathtaking speed meant that all she heard was one voice at a time, already translated into English. It was hard to follow. She listened for names. One in particular leapt out at her.
"The ship isn't responding. Is unflinching resolve down?" "No matter. We can do this with or without Telcam, if we have the will."
"Locate, pious Inquisitor."
"We have 15 more vessels joining us."
"Then move the artillery, you fool. Move them up to the keep."
"Whatever happened to that well-oiled war machine?" "No Sanxiume. Still finding their feet again." She glanced at BB. "So, pious Inquisitor's back. I wondered what had happened to her. I keep forgetting how willing they are to glass one another. They're running low on big ships. It looks like they're losing the few they've got. But they don't need much to take out the Arbiter, because he's as short of resources as they are."
"Is he losing?"
"Yes. He didn't see this coming. Lack of organization has its advantages. So, other than monitoring, what else can we usefully do at the moment?"
"I've brought the Admiral up to speed."
"And?"
"She's still leaning on Hood to give Infinity a run, for reasons so Byzantine that I fell to my virtual knees in worship. She's asking Hood if it isn't time to go and help his Sangheili chum. We could well have a flagship plus both commanders out here soon. What? She's planning to come out here with Infinity? Hood as well? Good God. Only does house calls. Are they even allowed to deploy together? Sounds like a recipe for a power vacuum at the top if anything goes wrong with all the untested technology. I doubt either would let the other have the keys and take the ship for a spin alone. Anyway, Oni would be fine. You're the heir apparent. Fleet would be rather inconvenienced, though. They didn't need a warship like Infinity to back up an extraction like this. Not when Sangheili was still groping for a new direction and mired in problems of its own. Osman realized that she would have done the same thing in Parangoski's position, though. An early test of what the ship could now do. A timely warning to the Sangheili that they were no longer top dogs. A more serious shakedown of the crew to find any weak links. And a perfect excuse to take out a few more Sangheili ships that might one day trouble Earth. Do it, Mom. Take the risk. But just remember you're not a kid anymore. It's amazing how tolerant families are of these long mystery deployments, Osman said. Lots of young single officers. I did wonder. UNSC lonely loser. Oh, there'll be 17,000 shipmates before too long, and nothing much else to do. Two-edged sword, families. Something to fight for, or something to lose and grieve over. But I'll never know. Osman watched the display, keen to forget the family complications that might end up plaguing Kilo 5. She switched to the drone view of Fadam, trying to work out which pall of smoke was unflinching resolve. That probably explained why she couldn't raise Telcam. Was he dead? She'd have to find another way to keep the plates spinning. He couldn't be the only religious Sangheili ripe for exploiting. It must be very hard to have normal relationships in this job, Bibi said suddenly, obviously still pondering on lonely loser. And not just because the clear azure pool of eligible men contains so many rotting leaves of the Captain Hogarth variety. Osman almost shot back a heartfelt response but found herself frozen. The most unsettling thing about a conversation with Bibi was that he almost never had to ask her a question because he knew her past. He had every conceivable piece of information ever recorded about her, including